Ready to elevate your career with a professionally published book? Are you simply not sure where to start? Have you been searching down the internet rabbit hole for a self-publishing resource worth your time? Your search ends here, my friend. Let's walk the publishing path together and bring your book to life with the Publishing for Professionals podcast. I'm here to coach thought leaders, executives, and speakers on how to successfully self-publish your book while avoiding common pitfalls. I'm Lana Liquidy-Smarges, chief ghostwriter, editor, and founder of Unicorn Publishing Company, and have stood by the sides of many professionals just like you to walk them through the publishing process and successfully launching their book. Every industry pioneer faces the same daunting challenges: how to convert your hard-earned wisdom into a book that builds legacy with a voice that reflects your personal and professional brand. Join me each week to acquire practical wisdom and proven strategies and find out what the traditional publishing companies simply don't want you to know. Let's work together to tell your story with a book. This is more than just a podcast. It's your roadmap to becoming a published author. Get ready to write your blueprint for book publishing success with the Publishing for Professionals podcast.
Hey, future authors, this is Lynn Aliquity-Smarges back with another episode of Publishing for Professionals. I'm really excited to be here this week with a guest. I don't have a lot of guests on my show, but I do have a curated list of guests. I love to bring you all, my listeners and watchers, whether you're watching this on YouTube and or Substack. I have some great information to share with you today. We're going to go over a hot topic with my guest. And my guest today is Travis I. Seibert. He is a prolific author of fantasy, science fiction, social DIY, and more. And when he says prolific, he really means it. I mean, I don't think I've ever met anyone who has written more fiction books than Travis. He's created the Traverse Reality, a shared universe that connects his cyberpunk, fantasy, and steampunk worlds. He's a super cool person and human being all around, and has an amazing family of cats, which you will probably see on this video. Travis, welcome to the Publishing for Professionals podcast.
Well, thank you very much, Lynn.
I'm so glad we're here today, because we are going to talk about the hot topic of book marketing, not only book marketing, but how to utilize AI tools to shorten the time it takes to make your content for book marketing. So AI, of course, hot topic. Everybody's talking about it, right? Because it can help with your productivity. But one of the things, before we jump into the book marketing piece, I would love to talk about is we really need to be careful with copyright in AI, right? Because we can't just take what we have in AI if we just prompt it and just copy and paste it. Give me your thoughts on how you avoid copywriting when you're using AI tools.
Well, I don't use them to write on the images that are being used, checking the laws. Just because the AI model has learned to make images by looking at other people, so is every other human being. So there's not strict copyright rules for a generalized picture, unless if you see an image or a product that is a copyrighted, for example, if you used a president's face or a face of a famous movie star and put into your AI, then you're walking on thin ice and it can cause problems. So if you use generalizations, not specifics, when designing things, so you're not getting Mrs. Butterworth maple syrup in your whatever image you're creating, and with the writing, if you're using your own writing to create that prompt, that's your copyrighted material. So anything used from that shouldn't be an issue. Now, check what I just said, Lynn. Is there anything I missed, whether it was understanding the question or other places you think it should fit?
No. I think that's spot on, because that's how I use AI as well. I take my own content, put it in there, and ask it to rewrite it for me in different formats. And that way I don't have to spend so much time doing all the writing myself. And then I just take that content, polish it up, make it my own style, and then put it out on the different channels. So yes, I agree. Absolutely. We always have to be careful of not using, obviously, things that are patented, copyrighted, and or other images other people are already using. One of the things people don't understand, I know, is that they think, oh, it has to have a patent or a trademark. If it doesn't, I can use it. And that's not true. If it's published, then it's copyrighted. So we definitely have to be careful of that type of material. Let's jump into the book marketing aspect. So when did you start using AI for your book marketing?
Very recently. When I say very recently, I guess almost 2 years ago, I started toying with it. There are other people out there who have great sites. And one of these people has a thing to create a book blurb using AI. But it was as AI was just coming into its own. It was more in its teen years of development. And this was very handy because as an author, and I don't know about everybody else, but I think most authors are with me, the hardest part of the book is when you get to writing that blurb, when you get to writing posts for social media, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, we wrote this whole massive, incredible, intricate thing. To break it down to two paragraphs, less than 500 words total, that's hard. We don't even know what the important points are anymore. So
I'm with you on that, because like every time I write a book, it's my own or my clients. I'm like, I am just so like at this point, I'm like, I'm okay, we're done with the book. And then I'm like, wait, no, I have to think of new book marketing ideas.
Right. Right. Whereas if you take chapter one and drop it into your program du jour of choice or whatever have you, to be able to go, give me five blurbs, 500 words or less, go. It's a wonderful tool. And if anybody's worried about AI stealing it and using it somewhere else, no, they will learn from it. Yeah, no AI company wants to come up across a plagiarism copyright issue themselves, and they are avoiding it like the plague, especially if you go with any of the big ones, you know, Midjourney, ChatGPT, etc. Smaller ones, well, it's like any business out there. Sometimes the smaller is the better idea because you got closer personal stuff. Other times they're the fly by night trying to get something quick out of people.
And I know you had mentioned obviously a ton of programs out there. The two most popular ones that I know of, like ChatGPT, Claude, there's, you know, Gemini, Google has Gemini. There's a lot of AIs out there. I think almost every Canva has its own AI, like almost right. Every platform that's out there has its own AI, including this business coaching program that I'm in right now has its own AI. Of course, it's all built on the OpenAI that's out there and just adapted and trained specifically for different reasons. So What is your AI program du jour that you love for writing? What is your favorite?
ChatGPT has been the most comprehensive of my language style. I've always been horrible at making up keywords and hashtags, whether it's SEO, search engine optimization on your websites, or hashtags for Instagram, TikTok, etc. And I've always been bad at Googling, because the way my mind works and the way I lay out words is not how the normal human being does it, apparently. To have somebody that can go, I know what you mean, I can help you, and by somebody, I mean a AI, it's been beautiful. And, you know, the handful I tried, and the most recent I've come to just about a month ago, was ChatGPT. I figured it's the biggest, it's the best, it's the most well-known, let me see what it can do. It was incredible. The understanding of this AI to be able to take two sentences laid out like a conversation and generate show notes for my own podcast. I was dazzled. And the images that I've had it create for me, so much more of exactly what I'm looking for. It's almost creepy with the, you know, oh, is it reading my mind? Because pretty much from the get-go, it had me, it got me, and understood what I was trying to dig for. I was so pleasantly surprised. I was like somebody who recently quit smoking or lost weight. I just wanted to tell everybody about it and tell them why they should do it too.
That's funny. And so you said, you know, taking your own content, putting it in there, generating keywords, right? And then what other things have you used it for as far as like putting your content in there? Have you generated social media blurbs? Have you generated anything else with using AI for your book marketing?
Yes, absolutely. Social media blurbs. Also, I've used it to go, here's my book. And I fed my whole book into it, asked it for feedback. So it gave me pros and cons and broke down, and it took it 6 or 8 hours to get through it. So it wasn't instant. And it asked me if it wanted me to go more in details. And in that same conversation, I said, okay, you have my book. Now I need to make a video for this. It went through the book, pulled out the most important scenes, gave me a short, like one sentence blurb that I would want to use to create the image for that. And then it told me what program to go to that is free and easy to use with a small learning curve to put those images together, add movement to them. So it's not quite a video. It's just that still picture, which zooms in or zooms out or has smoke going across it. And it walked me through that step by step. And though I've done that before with my own programs or whatnot, once I realized where it was going and what it was doing, I dug more into that, going, hey, tell me more about how to do that. So
that's interesting. I've never tried prompting it to give me like, say like, hey, what video would be good pulling out of this book content? And that's really interesting. That's a really cool use case for AI with using your own content, because that's one of the ones I haven't thought about. So when it did give you directions on like, this is, you know, what this video is going to be about, and it gave you the one sentence, what tool did it ask you to use to make the video?
I would have to go back. Hold on. Let me check my menu, because I may have installed it. I may have used the online version. I know it mentioned Clipchamp, and I believe that's one I used, but it mentioned like three or four different video making tools. And each one it listed, this one has the smallest learning curve, but you're going to be limited on the tools. This one has this, this one has that. Look, I'm going to create a social media post that I'm putting up there and then forgetting about it forever. I don't want a huge learning curve to spend an hour creating a 6-panel video and putting music to it and all that. That's one thing. To spend 7 hours creating this video, I realize the quality difference will be drastic, but people aren't studying these like they do a major motion picture. They're right. Going, hey, that looks cool. Either they scroll on or they go to look for the book. You don't need a J.J. Abrams quality movie trailer for the book. I mean, don't get me wrong, if you could do it, use it. Yeah, do that. But
right?
On the other hand, we have to balance our time. That's one of the biggest things about self-publishing, is deciding where your time goes, because you can do all the things, but what do you want to do versus what you have to do?
Yes, that's very important, because especially when you're writing a book, right? There's like, I actually did a keynote yesterday, and I talked about all the shiny objects you can find with AI. And it's not about going after the shiny objects, but finding the tool that best suits your needs, right? And like right. You said, with that low learning curve, that's really important, especially if you haven't done, like, I don't do video production. I just do super small videos on Canva, and they look fine, right? Like, it doesn't, again, like you said, it doesn't have to be J.J. Abrams production. But I think that what you said is so valuable, that not to spend a ton of time on making all the content, because if you spend all the time on making the content, then that means that's not time you're spending getting the content out and sharing it with people. Right. So you have to be really careful of how you utilize your time. And I think that's one of the great assets of using AI as a tool, because you get that time back, because you're not spending so much time figuring out like what video tool I should use, you know, how, where, what type of video should I make on this? And then making it, right? So it shortcuts that time down tremendously. You said it gave you three or four tools. And then, so one of the things we all know AI is famous for is giving us incorrect data or information. So do you feel like the tools that chat gave you, the information on it, this tool is very easy to learn, this tool has a little more of a learning curve, do you feel like when you looked up those platforms and programs that the AI was pretty accurate on describing them?
Absolutely, because one of them was DaVinci, which I know is a beautiful program. Yes. It is free, but it's got a big learning curve.
Correct.
Clipchamp, small learning curve, because I use that too for smaller projects. And I've used Canva, which that was on the list also. And I don't remember what other ones. I still have the conversation saved so I could go back and refer to them. Matter of fact, when I first started using, I started copy-pasting the information the AI would give me. By the way, here's a fun fact. ChatGPT, at least, specifically told me not all of the information is correct. Do your research after it. Because, you know, it's fair. I mean, you ask anybody, they're going to give you information. Is any information you get from any source 100% correct, especially if it's more than an hour after they researched it? Because things change constantly.
Absolutely. And then there's always the, what I call the whisper down the lane effect of like, once somebody gets the information, someone tells it a little bit differently. And then by the time you're the fifth or sixth person that's heard it, it's a very far removed from the original source of information on
also
the actual
known as
fact.
Game of telephone. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's there's a great Mel Brooks clip where they do that all the way down the line. And at the end of the line, the first guy repeats it exactly like the last guy. And I was like, oh my, he said, that's nothing what I said. I know, but I know this telephone.
I know exactly which Mel Brooks clip you're referring to. It's funny. It's really good.
Anyhow, it doesn't matter. We don't need to hang on that. But yeah, it's true. It's information gets diluted, changed, personal impressions put on it. And AI may be cleaner than that. But remember, its information is coming from outside. Surprise, surprise. Not everything on the internet is true.
Right. That is such a true statement.
I recently ran across somebody who said they do their research on TikTok. And I got that look too. I got horrified. I'm like, what? Any other sources? Well, sometimes YouTube. I'm like, no, you can't even trust like the actual source 100%. TikTok is all opinion.
I mean, if you're doing a hobby, right? Like I've been into painting lately, right?
Right.
And that's fine. Go on YouTube and see like different painting because, you know, no one's going to blow up or catch on fire if you make the wrong painting mistake on painting process, right? It's like you paint over it. Who cares? YouTube and TikTok in and of itself to use for factual information. Definitely. I don't know. I feel like YouTube is definitely a little bit better. I mean, because you can actually see the person doing the thing. You can see if the person messes up or how the product or whatever it is turns out. But yes.
They were researching healthcare supplements.
Oh no. You know,
like, and I don't remember what product it was, but it was like, and I don't mean it was a male enhancement product, but by that I mean male health, not sexual or anything like that. And I'm like, because my wife picked it up and looked at it, she's like, do they know what's in here? Because she knows herbs, she's got a degree in herbology or something, and she's like, did they research this? That's when the conversation happened, and we're like, oh
yeah. Anyhow. And then I am very much into alternative health, but the thing I don't like is the multi-level marketing companies that get into it, because then they start spewing off all these things that are opinions that they don't have any factual thing to back up against. And I'm not going to get on that whole soapbox right now, but oh my gosh, I could tell you reams and reams and reams of things people have said.
We could just tie it into writing.
Yeah.
And this exact topic, those companies, quite often not even US-based companies, they are using AI to generate some of these ads and some of these things where they give it the information and they have it spit out. And it's just like reading the instructions on the new piece of furniture that was printed and translated in China. And you're like, oh, that's so funny. That one line is sometimes these commercials, and you'll notice the commercials for these things have at the end, these are not based on actual data or something along those lines. And you're like, wait, what? And the same thing with creating the ads for your books. You want them to feel as genuine as possible. It's why using your own content and then proofreading the AI's content afterward. That's
absolutely
so important, because at least ChatGPT is like, do you want any tweaks? But a lot of times it's just a matter of changing a couple words or removing half a sentence because it's not exactly the message you want to send. And it's not horrible. It's just not, you're just tweaking it like you would your own first or third draft of a blurb or an ad. And it's great to do it with that too, to make sure you're giving the message you want to give and not some plastic thing made nowhere near you.
Right. Exactly. All right, my friends, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more with Travis Seibert about book marketing with AI.
Hey, friends and future authors. I know what it's like to sit alone at your desk and to stare at your manuscript and wondering if anybody else out there feels the same as you do. My friend, that is why I created the Publishing for Professionals community, a sanctuary for leaders like you who are crafting books to elevate your thought leadership. Imagine having a professional ecosystem where you can find other professionals who truly understand your struggles and celebrate your victories. A circle which offers genuine support and a place where fellow thought leaders gather. The road to authorship is better traveled together. Come and join an alliance who speaks your language, who recognizes that your book isn't simply just a page with words. It's the process of creating your forever legacy. Join the Publishing for Professionals circle at www.writeforyou.me and click on community. Use the sign-up form and register today to gain confidence alongside others who now share your journey towards authorship.
All right, we're back with Travis Seibert. And Travis, before the break, you mentioned tweaking the book content, like ChatGPT gives you the content. And we all know, we also talked about like how it's not always true. So we have to double check our research if it gives us something that looks like or may be not correct. When you take your content, like say you put your book content in there and you're doing some book marketing with it and you bring it back out, what's your typical process of going through it and tweaking it so you make it your own voice style and or make it more authentic to who you are or what your book is about?
It's a great question. And let me, for the viewers, Lynn here says book content. She means the blurbs or the social media posts. We are not writing books through AI. We're not dropping an outline and asking for a book. I love individuality and using it to get feedback about a chapter or a book is one thing. I do not promote creating entire books through AI. But once I have dropped my content in and I get back out the one or two paragraphs I want for that social media post, you mentioned in my own voice, I literally do that. It's a matter of reading out loud, like it's a commercial. Am I trying to create something, you know, 1980s and exciting, like the movie trailer or something? In a world gone mad, one man stands alone. Or am I looking for something more educational? In a world of madness, one man alone in his habitat and mind. So I want to look at how that voice is coming out literally in my voice as I'm reading it, because I record audiobooks and I do podcasts. If there's something you could do to make your ad more personal, and if it is a video, why not do that voiceover in your own voice? If you're not, even if you're going to have an AI read it so you can grab that recording or whatever you're going to do with it, you want to read it how you want the viewer to experience it. So sometimes the words don't fit when you do that. And you realize I need to take out this phrase. Or for example, instead of saying, a great tweak is it. Instead of the book trailer or the words or the voiceover or whatever saying, find my book on Amazon. When you have your book out there on more than just Amazon, depending if you publish Drafted Digital or Ingram Spark, it's going to be in a much wider base. You don't want to say, find my book on Amazon. You want to say, find my book in all the places you shop for your books, or find my book in all the fine literary retailers. Again, depending on the tone and the mood, whether you're playful and fun or whether you're a little more grandiose, and you want that to match your content.
That makes sense. That totally makes sense. And so when you're using AI, is there any specific prompts or anything you would say that you avoid doing because you found that when you use a specific type of prompt or word or phrase that it doesn't give you like the quality content that you're looking for from your book material that you've put in there and prompted it on?
I can't think of anything in specific, but that's because I most recently used ChatGPT and it understood what I was going for, like I said, with an amazing few amount of word. Whereas the other ones, it felt like you had to go in more with a bulleted list than a conversation. And I don't remember anything specific, but that's why I'm like, go try multiple AI, see what works best for you. And if you're on a budget, which really, if you're self-publishing, you probably are on a budget of some sort. Instagram, you can go into their messenger and they have AIs in there and you could try it with them. You could try Facebook. Lynn, you mentioned Gemini with Google, and everybody's got one nowadays. Canva, which again is often recommended. Use the tools you have and you know first. There'll be less of a learning curve. And also, I'm guessing, you like, that's why you're using it. Now, if you don't like it and you're using it, take a day and go explore the other ones. You might be like, they're all AI. They're all the same. No, they're apparently not. And I would have thought the same thing till I started messing around with different ones.
Yeah, I found a little bit of a difference with them. And my preferred program du jour is definitely Claude. I love Claude AI for helping me with like some title suggestions, things like that, like making check. Mm-hmm. My book. And there's so many different tools out there. But like you said, there's so many tools out there, it can be overwhelming to choose from. But I'm sure almost anybody who's listening to this has an AI and a tool they're already using, and that try that one first, right? And
right.
If that one is doing what you need it to do, and if not, there, you know, look at another program that you already use and see if that one works as well. But I think definitely the one that is the most well-known is Chat, because they're the ones who came onto the scene with the AI writing like a couple years ago. And so I think most people are definitely at least heard of Chat and have not used it. Just one last question, Travis, what would you recommend for somebody who wants to get into writing with Chat, like taking their content and putting it in ChatGPT or Gemini or another AI? What are some pieces of advice you would give them?
One of the hardest things for me in writing, besides marketing, we'll move that topic aside, is finding good, reliable beta readers. And that's one of the things I have found with these is, and just recently, I have never had any AI read my book previous to just a few weeks ago. And I put one in that I'd already published and everything, so it's out there, and got feedback on that. Which, funny thing is, I put in the very first book I ever published and then the latest book and asked it about the growth, and it thought I published the last one first and the first one last. So it like gave me how much of that's grown, and I'm like, it misunderstood, which is something you'd get in conversation also, because it's like, oh, your first one was light and humorous. This one is much more epic and detailed. And I'm like, because that's an epic fantasy. This is a tongue in cheek fantasy, and it's not wrong. But yeah, I got it reversed. So it's a matter of, Lynn, I'm so sorry. I lost a question in my tangent there.
Oh, it was just, the question was, what would you recommend for people who are just starting out using AI for writing their content for their book? Like, what are some advice you would give them that maybe like a mistake you made or something that you tripped over at first, and you're like, oh, I wish I'd known this.
I don't have anything like that, but I will give you general advice of know your tool, just like you would know a person you hand the book to, at least minimally. Experiment with different ones, just like experimenting with different people that you look to for advice. Know the tool at least minimally before you jump in it, and don't take the first one that gives you feedback as the end all be all. Look at these other tools also and see what works best for you. Sometimes you need a wrench, sometimes you need a screwdriver. They're both excellent tools, useful in many different places, but it might not be the right tool for that job. And with the way it's changing, in a year, you might need to switch to a different one, a new one or an old one, because the new one has wandered off.
Yeah, that was good advice. Good advice. So Travis, I know people who are listening are going to want to reach out to you, whether they're watching this on YouTube or on Substack or listening to this on any of the podcast audio. Where can people find you, and what book would you like to share with them that is maybe your most recent book or one of your favorite sci-fi books that you've written that you really want to share with the audience?
We'll start with the easy one. That's the latest book I just put out. Actually, I have another omnibus I put out, but this is The Traveler's Inn, book 1-4, all pulled together. That's a really fun one. It ties a lot of my series together with the one character that had been threaded through the other series. This one goes back to him, an attack on him throughout time and dimensions. And it's written in four sections: fantasy, steampunk, Weird West, cyberpunk. And then the fourth section is very much in his head and only in the end, so out of time and space. Definitely have enjoyed writing it, and I'm loving the responses I'm getting from it. You can find that and all my other books, audiobooks, podcasts at travissivart.com. That last name is the same as the first, but written in reverse, travissivart.com. And other than that, if you want to email, the email is on that website. The live writing stream is on that website, as well as all the other things. And yeah, reach out to me. Drop me a line. Let me know if I can help you out.
Awesome. Sounds good. Well, if you are listening to this or watching this, definitely reach out to Travis. He's a fun and amazing and very creative and artistic individual. Always have great conversations. Travis, thank you so much for coming on to the Publishing for Professionals podcast today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right, my friends, remember to start your book today, because if you keep putting it off to tomorrow, you won't have a book. So definitely jump on your book and start writing.
Hey, my friend, thanks for joining me on the Publishing for Professionals podcast. I hope this episode has equipped you with actionable strategies for your publishing journey. Remember, your expertise becomes truly valuable when it's transformed into a professionally published book that represents your unique brand. The insights we've covered today will hopefully give you another piece of your publishing blueprint. If you found today's discussion valuable, make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you get the next episode dropped right into your podcast player. Each week, we tackle another essential aspect designed specifically for busy professionals like you. Remember to start the dream of writing your book today, because your strategies could be the missing piece in someone else's success puzzle tomorrow.
The information in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The content shared by the host, guests, and any affiliates is not intended to substitute for professional or financial advice specific to your situation. Always seek the advice of a qualified professional with any questions you may have. The opinions expressed on the show by the host or guests are of the individuals and do not necessarily reflect the views of Unicorn Publishing Company. Unicorn Publishing Company, the host, guests, and affiliates are not responsible or liable for any decisions made by listeners or action taken hereto based on the information discussed in this podcast. By listening to this podcast, you acknowledge and agree to release Unicorn Publishing Company, the host, affiliates, and guests from any liability.